This is another episode of Be Right Golf Digest Betting Podcast, where we're previewing the RBC Heritage with sharp European punter Steve Bamford of the Golf Betting System Podcast. But before we dig into this week, I'd love to tell you about William Hill, sponsor of the Be Right Podcast, because there's a juicy sign-up bonus, a free bet up to $500, depending on where you live. Just use the promo code GolfDigestRF, all uppercase again, GolfDigestRF, to take advantage of that free bet. For new users only, and you must be 21 or older and physically present in one of William Hill's states to take advantage, and the risk-free bet will be credited as a free bet within 3 business days. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks to William Hill for sponsoring Be Right. Let's get into this week's RBC Heritage Podcast.
Welcome back to Be Right, presented by William Hill. I'm Alex Myers. As always, I'm joined by Stephen Hennessy, Christopher Powers. We got a guest today, Steve Bamford from Golf Betting System and the Golf Betting System Podcast. He's one of the sharpest handicappers from the UK. We love chatting with those guys over there. They give us a different perspective, and obviously they're a lot more plugged in with the Euro Tour stuff. So we'll be talking to Steve shortly. In the meantime, obviously we got a lot to talk about with the Masters. Unfortunately, I don't think any of us did too well. Not true. Steve, you won another pool. I mean, through it, man. You're on fire right now.
Define the hottest, defined pretty well. I mean, $2,000 is okay, I guess. Woo! Let's go.
You are carrying us, man. What was your lineup? What was the system that you were in?
You picked 6 golfers, and it was like score per round, so a little different of a setup than other pools. So I was lucky. I had 6 guys make the cut, so that meant like anyone who had a low score that day. So for instance, Webb Simpson, you know, he finished T12, but he shot 2 under on the final day. So that was actually pretty big for me.
Okay.
So I had 6 guys to choose from. The guys up against had Corey Connors, who thankfully went 2 over on the final day. So that was kind of the biggest thing, but I had Will Zalatoris, I had Jordan Spieth, I had Xander Schauffele. Good.
Oh man, no wonder you won.
Yeah,
man.
No one had Hideki. So And quick shout out to the tour junkies for predicting Hideki and our guy Nagels Bagels from Jersey too. I didn't see many people having Hideki, but yeah, had the pool win. It was nice. My sneaky favorite part of it was on Wednesday night. I asked Chris, you know, because this is Chris's buddy, David Gordon, and he got me in the pool last year. I asked Chris, I was like, hey, you know, if one of us wins, why don't we give each other our money back? You know, that's common thing that you'll do amongst friends when you enter a pool like that. And he just flat out said, no. Like, oh, okay. That's how it's going to go. Fair enough.
Wow.
I'm just going to go win the pool then. And I would have loved to have given the guy his money back, but.
Wow.
I didn't really get it. That was like last year we tipped each other off to these 2 pools and we agreed to that. A year later, I was like, why would we do that still? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't know. It was a nice thing for Steve to offer.
Yeah. I was like, no, I don't want to win and give $100 away.
Yeah. I mean, well then Steve just ripped everybody's face off. So
yeah, I mean, it's the dumbest format ever. I'm going to boycott it. I hate the, it's the stupidest thing ever. Why should you, Steve did great, yeah, but why should you get rewarded for like having a guy who's 10 back on Sunday with nothing to play for shoots a low round. It's not about picking like the 4, you know, you can have 4 guys who finish like top 10 and lose because some nobody from 10 right. back shot. I don't get it. I kind of hate it. And I think I'm going to finally boycott it, but Gordon will probably cry his way to get me back in it. So
boycott away.
I think I'm out on it.
All right. Well, we have Steve Bamford joining us. Steve, thanks for being here today. And how did you turn out last week? Did you have any success with your picks?
Awful. Absolutely awful.
Yeah, it was a tough one. Not a lot of people had Hideki Matsuyama. We were just saying Steve won a pool here and no one even had Hideki Matsuyama in the pool. So that kind of helped. It was tough. I mean, you know, Xander, I guess was a pretty popular pick. Spieth obviously was there, but not a lot of Zalatoris love, not a lot of Matsuyama love. What was your big takeaway, I guess, from the week?
I went for John Rahm. I don't think the baby situation helped him.
Yeah.
I also went for Bryson DeChambeau, which was clearly a horrible move. The one I kept staring at, and his stats lined up perfectly, but he was, first time there, Zalatoris. That was the big miss for me. I would never have picked Matsuyama. I thought at 45-1, his price against how he'd been playing just didn't stack up at all.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I remember betting Matsuyama, I think in 2016, he was in the second to last group, and a buddy of mine who we did the bets together, he putted, it was probably the worst I've ever seen anybody putt. And from that day forward, that friend of mine literally will not let me bet on him. So I was joking on Saturday, yeah, like, this guy's finally going to win, of course. And he said, yeah, let's see. But he did. He got it done. So I agree. I mean, 45-1, it wasn't a great price. No, it wasn't a great price. I mean,
I actually looked at it this morning for this with mind. He had not been in a final group since the BMW Championship back in August.
Wow.
That was the one that Rahm won from a DJ in a playoff.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy.
He bucked all the trends coming in where, you know, someone needs a set of really good finishes coming into the Masters. And that was
he had none of that. We know what a great iron player he is. So that's still stacked up. But he did not have the form clearly coming in. And you know, it's crazy. He has so much media that follows him all the time. I know our Dan Rappaport wrote about that. It's like Tiger at a normal event. I mean, it's the only thing that even compares. He might even have more following him around. But at this event, because of the limited press credentials, he didn't have that same swarm. So I almost wonder if that helped him a little because he has so much pressure on him. So good for him getting the W. Obviously, I'm sure we'll talk Olympics down the road when he should be the favorite at a venue where he's won the Asian Amateur before. By the way, I'm wearing my new Masters hat. That's the only thing I bought for myself. I have Steve's Pimento shirt here.
Look at that.
Now is apparently worth hundreds of dollars.
I don't know.
I mean, I would go highest bidder.
Wow. Come on. You're going to outbid me for...
Maybe we start a contest.
I Venmo'd you already. Come on,
You did. A deal is a deal.
That's true.
That was smart of you.
How are we going to get around this Steve and Steve situation?
I don't know. That's going to be
not
tough.
Not I.
This is a first
time for it. That's fine.
We'll call Steve Stevie, or sometimes we call him West Side because he used to live on the west side of New York City. So we'll call him one of the. Well, I'll try to remember to do that, and we'll call you Steve.
Well, I'll go with Steve then. You say Steve, I'm on it. Okay.
Yeah, this is the first time I guess we've had a couple of Steves. All right. So, anything else that we want to talk about in Masters before we get into the RBC Heritage? CP, anything else? I mean, I was on Rahm, I was on Spieth. I got a little excited, I guess, that final day, but it was Matsuyama's to lose. He really took control of it in the third round, right, Chris?
Yeah, just disappointed in Justin Thomas, kind of really put all my eggs in his basket. And I thought it was really his for the taking on Saturday, you know, coming around 13. I think he was really thinking, I'm about to make an eagle and kind of take over, and then he blasted it into the trees and hit a great shot out, crazy hook, snap hook, set up an 81-yard wedge shot, and just, I guess he chunked it or miscalculated the number or whatever, and rest is kind of history. But other than that, I mean, I bet on a bunch of losers. I did bet on Rahm too, and he had a nice Sunday, but, you know, all my long shots was rough week. Westwood. Bet a lot on Westwood, top five, top 10, top 20. Really thought he would show up. I don't know. That was a disappointing week for sure.
I got to say about Bryson, you know, he even acknowledged on Friday when he shot the 60s. He had such a weird week. He shot a 67, which I think was like the fifth best score of the week. But then the other 3 days, he's 75 or worse. And even on Friday, he kind of felt like he didn't play great, but he kind of got away with it. And he mentioned that he doesn't have the green reading books here and some other, he carries like a TrackMan thing around during the practice rounds, but there's something else that he's not allowed to bring, he said. And he just feels uncomfortable. And he kept saying that word, like, hopefully I get more comfortable. I got to say, I'm putting that in the memory bank. I'm not betting him next year for sure. I mean, he can't, and he, and Steve, I mean, he just can't putt here. I mean, we know he's become a very good putter, but for whatever reason, whether it's the books or what, he can't putt here. So I know you said you took him. I mean, we gotta be wary about him going forward. It's just not a place that it seems to suit him.
He mentioned also uneven lies, and he struggled with uneven lies the Friday was the softer of the days, wasn't it? They basically put some water on the course because it was getting too frisky on the Thursday. But yes, I don't think he can compute. And as we know with Bryson, it's all about a computer equation or a physics equation.
Exactly.
He struggles with that. I think it will come with time.
Yeah, it'll exactly. He's got to build up that experience.
Yeah. Shortcut it.
He can't shortcut it. Exactly. And it was crazy. I mean, like on Sunday, the eighth hole, he hit it into these azaleas up on the right where I don't know if anyone's ever hit a tee shot in there before because he hits it so far. And there were some holes where it was like breathtaking. I mean, he was 50 yards in front of Harris English and he split the fairway on 7, on 5. And he didn't capitalize on either hole. I mean, it doesn't matter then if you hit it 350 down the middle. So we'll have to keep that in mind.
Before we get into the breakdown for Harbortown, I want to give another shout out to William Hill for sponsoring Be Right. Check out their odds for this week, where we have 5 of the top 10 in the world and 13 of the top 25 players teeing it up. Also, word is that they have posted odds for the 2022 Masters, and a certain 15-time major champion has odds of 40-1 listed. That's right, Tiger Woods listed at 40-1 at William Hill for the 2022 Masters. So if you bet on Tiger and he ends up not playing in next year's Masters, which of course we really hope he does, and that'd be phenomenal for the world of golf, but William Hill will refund anyone on their future ticket if he does not play. And, you know, you should know that that doesn't always happen on a futures ticket. Sometimes sportsbooks will say tough luck. So shout out to William Hill for doing that. For more info, go to williamhill.com. And remember, if you're in a state where William Hill is available, use the promo code GolfDigestRF at sign up for a juicy sign up bonus.
He is obviously a little bit of a storyline coming into this week at the RBC Heritage. It's where he made his pro debut. It's where last year they had to move him back on the driving range. And this year, apparently, they brought in two cranes to put up a net. They were ready for him. And now he withdraws. Stevie, obviously he would have been one of the big favorites coming into this week, not the favorite with Dustin Johnson, but how does that change this week as we enter it?
Yeah, thankfully he did that before the DraftKings pricing came out. So, you know, it didn't really affect pricing and the odds. Guys didn't move down so much. Harbortown, it's a simple course breakdown for me, really. And I want to kick it to Steve Bamford, who's, you know, notorious for doing these great course breakdowns on his site, Golf Betting System. So I'll let him go. I'll just go off some macro stuff at the top. Pete Dye, Jack Nicklaus design, 1969. And, you know, really it's an important design in the annals of course architecture, because Pete Dye really distinguished himself with this, wanting to do something different than the other architects of the day. So you got no elevated greens, no elevated tees, and really low profile, subtle change. Really genius design at the time. It was top 10 in our Golf Digest rankings when it came out. Now it's back in the second 100. I think it's just the sign of the times, but a lot of dog legs. So, you know, that takes drivers out of guys' hands, and you really need to shape it, if you're going to hit driver. But, you know, oftentimes you see guys way deep in the pines if they, you know, get really loose with the driver. And small greens, these are the second smallest set of greens on tour, second to Pebble Beach at 3,700 square feet on average. The last thing I'll mention, I think because of last year, where this was the fourth easiest course on tour, you're going to hear a lot of people say that this is a birdie fest this week, but that's actually not true all the time. If you look at the past 10 years, 5 times it was in the top 11 of the toughest courses of the year. And Steve's breakdown on his website, again, Golf Betting System, breaks this down great every week, including this week. So, you know, I think you're going to need someone with a hot putter. That's historically what we see here. But You know, don't think that we're necessarily getting to 20 under. We probably will. You know, it depends what the wind does. This is a coastal track, so you know the wind is a huge factor. But you know, it's not always the easiest course on tour. So I'll kick it to the other Steve to see what else he's got. I know the agronomy is your specialty on your podcast, Steve. What are you looking at?
You stole my thunder, Steve, on the second smallest greens on the PGA Tour after Pebble Beach. That was the one I was going to throw in. You're absolutely spot on. Effectively, this course, because it's right on the coast, the Atlantic coast, it plays as difficult as the wind conditions, effectively.
Yep.
Now, when I was looking at this Saturday, Sunday, it looked like it was going to be quite calm. I'm now looking at Windfinder, which is always the app or the website I use. Hmm. And it's now pointing out that Thursday, you know, this could be gusting up to 30 miles an hour from the west.
Wow.
Now this puts a whole new dynamic on it. I don't personally think that we're going to get the scoring, the level of scoring that we saw last year. I mean, it played almost two shots under par. It was the fourth easiest course on the PGA Tour last year. But there was no wind. The course had basically been, you know, watered beyond its, you know, depth. It was receptive. They could just take it apart. I think this year it's going to play a far sterner test. There hasn't been a lot of rain in the area either. So I think we could see some firm fairways, potentially some releasing greens. With that wind coming, I expect clearly Wednesday night into Thursday, they'll water the greens to try and bring the risk of the balls moving on in that kind of wind. One point to note here, and this is where I go into my agronomy hat. Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass greens, but they are overseeded with Poa trivialis. Now, last season, this was played in June. They were pure Tiff Eagle. Now that we're in April with the low conditions in the morning in terms of temperature, the chance of frost, overseeded with Poa trivialis. If we're looking for exact comps in terms of that, look at Austin Country Club, where they played a Dale World match play. TPC Scottsdale, where they play, of course, the Waste Management Phoenix Open, and Copperhead at Innisbrook, where they play the Valspar Championship. I reckon there could potentially be a tee time split that favours morning on Thursday and PM on Friday. Just looking at the weather forecast as it stands, it looks like it's getting windier and windier Thursday afternoon. And it's a lot calmer Friday afternoon for those Thursday morning starters.
Wow. All right. Well, that was some great info there. I'm learning agronomy. I'm learning about Windfinder. I gotta look at Windfinder. That sounds like a great site.
Very good site, yeah.
Yeah, very good. I'm just using the weather app like a dope. All right. So let's get into the favorites. Obviously, I saw a stat that over half of the field at Augusta will be playing this week. So it's a pretty decent field. I mean, we mentioned Bryson's not playing. Obviously, Hideki Matsuyama's not playing. He flew back commercial, as we all saw yesterday, to Japan. But, some good guys. We start at the top. Dustin Johnson, plus 1,200. Webb Simpson, we know his track record here. Stevie and I hit him last year after the restart, plus 1,400. Patrick Cantlay off that just brutal week at Augusta, plus 1,800. Colin Morikawa, pretty solid at Augusta, plus 2,000. Daniel Berger, plus 2,200. Tyrrell Hatton, 2,500. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 2,800. And Will Zalatoris, the new star, the coming out party at Augusta, even though, I mean, we've already seen a lot from him, but man, the casual fan really got to know him this week. He's plus 2,800 as well. CP, I'll let you kind of take the wheels here with some of these favorites. By the way, Dustin Johnson, I don't think a lot of us, I don't know if this changes your perspective, CP, but he did have to stick around and stay kind of like, with it, let's just say, for that green jacket ceremony. He was playing golf Sunday. So like maybe in a way he's like more prepared for this event than ever before, because he kind of had to be there for the whole jacket ceremony, anything else. Anyway, I'll let you take over who you'd like in those favorites.
Yeah, that's fair. But I don't know. If you take out last year when all the big boys showed up and they, were obviously very motivated coming out of the pandemic, they needed the starts, needed to play. But if you look at this course historically, you got to just bet long shots here. You know, post-Masters, whatever you call it, hangover. Right. I get what you're saying about Dustin. He missed the cut. He had some time off. But I would, I mean, anyone under 30-1, I would probably just skip anyone that played in the Masters. It's just historically how it's gone here. They kind of, I don't know what's the motivation to kind of come win at Harbortown. So I don't have anybody under 30. The first guy I would maybe look at is Fitzpatrick, just because of how, you know, Steve was just talking about the potential weather. He's a great wind player, yep. Probably the best putter in this field. You got to be able to hit these greens and then make the putts. And that could probably be the guy, Fitzpatrick. And then maybe Abraham answer. But other than that, my spicy nug, I actually think Will Zalatoris misses the cut this week. So I don't like anyone under 30.
Okay. Stevie, what do you think? Well, that's pretty spicy. And you got it out there early. I like it. And we like those negative spicy nugs.
I'm hoping it gets lost. I'm terrified of that one making the Instagram.
If we could put that on social media, that would be great.
No,
I know Liam's.
I'm saying now, do not use that. But I do think it happens. I just think he had a wild week, wild weekend.
Yeah.
It's just a natural letdown. It's like betting on a, you know, college team that just won their biggest game of the season and, you know, is playing, you know, Cupcake U the following week. It's just a letdown spot for him.
Yeah, I'm not on Zalatoris, but I do think, you know, your notion that you have to go a long shot here isn't necessarily true, because we hit Webb at, you know, he was 25, 30-1 last year. And then if you look at 2019, DJ was actually leading after three rounds, and then we had a 77 the final day and just plummeted down the leaderboard. So his course history is interesting. You know, no top tens in his five appearances here. I'm not going there. I think Morikawa is interesting just because anytime he tees it up, he's got a chance to win. You know, the guy's a legend, and what you need to do well at Harbortown is what Morikawa does well. It's hitting fairways, it's hitting greens. So 20-1, I think's okay. I haven't put money on that yet. What I have put money on is Abe Anser, because, you know, the guy just always gets my money. Almost got it done here last year, lost by one to Webb. And I think this is just, you know, one of the rare courses where he really has a chance to get his first PGA Tour win. He rates out well in my models, top five in all the important things. So I've put my bet down on Abe, and I'm intrigued by Sung Jae at 33-1 at William Hill. I think you're getting decent discount with the level of talent of him. And, you know, it's just a matter of him putting it together with the approach play. He's been so good off the tee. He's, you know, he could get a hot putter with the best of them. It's just the iron play. So he's got to put that together, but he's shown flashes of it. I just think 33-1 on Sung Jae is an interesting number. So those would be my guys in that range. How about you, Steve?
I'm not a Dustin Johnson fan this week. I think that's my spicy nugget. I personally would be leaving Dustin Johnson. He could miss the cut. I don't see him contending personally. I could say the same about Webb Simpson. You look at his history when it comes to defending titles, it's not stellar at all. If you had to hold a gun to my head to someone sub 25-1, I'd probably go with Daniel Berger. And that's haunted me a few times in the past. But Berger is playing some very nice guys. I know that Berger was extremely popular last week at Augusta pre-event. And as Daniel Berger can do, miss the cut. That means nothing. I mean, you look at past winners here, missing the cut actually is probably a godsend in a way. I could see Berger going well at 22s. I like the case for Fitzpatrick. He's a great putter. He's a great putter over here on the European Tour. The thing that's really remarkable about his run at the moment over in the States is his ball striking is absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. His ball striking numbers again last week were fantastic. So he's always said that this is his favourite course, but hasn't done a great deal here over in the United States. So I can see something there with Fitzpatrick. Again, I wouldn't personally be on Will Zalatoris either. I think that could be it could be another big letdown spot.
Yeah, no, I like all that. I like Fitzpatrick. I like Hatton. I mean, Hatton had a nice Sunday at Augusta. You know, he played a little better. Let's get into these. A couple of these guys got mentioned. you mentioned Abraham Ancer, Steve, Stevie, and he's at plus 3,300. Sorry, I don't want to have a cough there. And, you know, another guy, Brian Harman, I'm surprised CP hasn't been jumping on him, especially after he had a nice week at Augusta. I just want to say Brian Harman is always talked about as being diminutive, and apparently he doesn't really like that. He is a giant compared to Abe Ancer. I mean, Abe Ancer is a small dude. Like, yeah. I give him a ton of respect for getting around some of these courses like Augusta. Now, again, Harbortown maybe a little more suits his game, but good for him. So, yeah, in that next range, I guess, CP, I'll start with you. I mean, you got Harman and Sergio and Abe and Corey Connors, who's just red hot at plus 3,300. They also, Tim Hortons, the coffee chain in Canada, has a special donut for Corey Connors this week after that hole in one. So he's flying high right now. You got Siwoo Kim, 40, Kevin Na, 35, Shane Lowry, 40, Harris English, 40, and Tommy Fleetwood, 40. CP, of that next range, then you said you didn't like the top range. Who's in that next range that you're really liking?
It's actually down a little bit further, and it's okay. A guy I'm assuming everyone's going to quit on, and it's Lee Westwood. He's down at 50-1 on William Hill.
Stop picking Lee Westwood.
He's down at 50-1 on William Hill. I bet him 70-1 elsewhere. I just like that, you know, people are probably going to be off him. The numbers much better. I mean, what was he after the Players at Honda, like 22-1, something crazy like that. And now he's kind of getting disrespected off the two missed cuts. You know, maybe all the golf's getting to him finally, but, you know, he's getting up there in age. But I don't know. You would think this course would suit him well. He hasn't played here since 2005. I think that's correct, which is pretty crazy. But obviously he's always playing in the Masters, and he probably has skipped this week in the recent past. But I just feel like it's a place that should suit him. He just played well at another Pete Dye course, the Players, obviously. Great ball striker, should be able to kind of steer it around here. I'm not going to quit on him. That's kind of my whole handicap. He ended up playing okay on Friday, too. He shot 71. He hit 11 of 18 greens, 12 of 14 fairways, made a couple putts. So I'm not going to hop off that Westwood bandwagon just yet.
Wow. All right. Stevie,
that's bold.
Stevie, give us a good pick here.
I will not give you Lee Westwood. I got two guys in this range. Russell Henley, who I've also wasted a lot of money on over the past year. He's 50-1 at William Hill. His iron play is just, you know, stellar, behind the likes of maybe only, you know, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, and Hideki, I guess, but he's third in my model, fifth in strokes gained approach the last 36 rounds. He's going to give himself a ton of opportunities. He also hits a bunch of fairways, you know, Macon, Georgia guy. So kind of down the road. I like Henley at 50-1, and then Chris Kirk at 60-1. CP mentioned, you know, playing well at the Players as a decent corollary. And, you know, I think that's true, because, you know, you need to shape your shots a lot around Harbortown. Chris Kirk is that kind of player. He's a pure ball striker and really playing well. You know, I had a top five at the Valero when I was on him there. So I think I'm just going to ride the hot hand with Chris Kirk. He had the week off, didn't play at Augusta. So 60-1, you know, I could see him contending, and, you know, make sure you back that up with a top 10 or an each way if you're over in the UK. So those would be my guys there. How about you, Steve?
Absolutely love this spot in the betting. This is where I've kind of peppered the board. Just looking at the history here, if you go back to 2010, the average winning price of here is 68-1, so 70-1.
Wow.
If you actually look at that over the last seven renewals, so that's since we went to this split PGA Tour season structure, you know, where you've got the full series leading into the main, the actual average is 86-1. So that, to me, kind of pushes me in the direction of certain players on the board. We've had Kuchar win this at 18-1, Furyk at 14-1. But apart from that, even as you guys mentioned earlier, Simpson was a 30-1 shot, Snedeker was a 35-1 shot, Grace 40-1, Graham McDowell 40-1. So this kind of area here, I think, is hot. I really think it's hot. The ones that I've got on for this week, I got on Harman. He's got an absolutely phenomenal Pete Dye design record. If you actually, if you take the last 5 years on die designs, stroke play, I'm not adding the match play into this, that would actually make it better for Harman. Top five players in this field on die designs, tied for first, Siwoo Kim and Webb Simpson. Third, Dustin Johnson. He's done well at the BMW Championship in the past. Paul Casey at four, and Brian Harman is at five. Wow. And I just like him. He's nuggety. He's got a great short game. He's a great putter. He's got, for me, he's got the perfect game for round here. So I'm on Harman. I've also got, believe it or not, a 50-1 ticket on Kevin Na, who's now 35-1.
Okay.
That's a good number.
That is a good number. And you look at Kevin Na, he's always disrespected. And I think from a betting perspective, his ceiling now is so high. I think he's disrespected because when you look at his stroke gain numbers, he doesn't pop in models effectively. That isn't Kevin Na. But what Kevin Na is now, he's a bit of a winning machine, isn't he? Mm-hmm. You actually look at what he's done recently. 45-1 he won the Greenbrier, 70-1 at Colonial, 70-1 at Shriners, 80-1 this year at the Sony Open. I think 50-1 on Kevin Na, who came off a top 12 last week, is a very, very strong bet. And actually, when he's finished 12th at Augusta before, which he has done in 2012 and 2015, the week after in 2012, he finished 8th here. And in 2015, they played the World Match Play. The next stroke play event after that was the Players. At a Pete Dye design, of course, Sawgrass, he finished 6th. Wow. So there's a lot to like about Kevin Na this week. I really do like that. I was also surprised Billy Horschel was at 50-1. I haven't bet him, but that to me seems a little bit disrespectful for a guy that finished 2nd in the WGC in Florida and then won the World Match Play on a Pete Dye design on the same kind of greens a few weeks ago.
He's playing Billy Horschel.
Yes, the other one for me, Kevin Kisner. I've got a 66-1 ticket on Kevin Kisner as well.
Very, very nice. I got suckered into a little 200-1 action on Kisner at the Masters, and he was 200 through 11. I was feeling, or 10, and then he tripled the 11th hole. I see Kisner there, 50-1 at William Hill.
Yeah.
You mentioned Brandon Grace. I mean, he's interesting, 60-1 at William Hill. I mean, he just won a couple months ago in Puerto Rico, so obviously he's been playing better. And if you look at the year he won here, the winning score was 9 under. So it wasn't one of these shootouts. It was one of the more windy years, which, as Steve mentioned, we could see some more wind this week. All right, any long shots? I'll let Stevie go first. Maybe this is where you give your spicy nug, Steve. And any deep long shots? That was some great, you're right, Steve. So many longer odds guys have won here. I didn't even realize some of those guys that you even think of as big names weren't even favorites, like a Brant Snedeker or Webb Simpson last year. But yeah. Stevie, any long shots that you're looking at down the board?
Yeah, and just a kudos to Steve on Kevin Na, because those courses where Na has won they're very similar to this in that they're short courses, they're ball strikers, paradises, Colonial, Sony, same thing. So I could be talked into that for sure. I like Matt Wallace deeper down the board, 66-1 at William Hill. You talk about ball striking. He's, been on a heater at Valero. I mean, he had one of the best ball striking weeks of, the past couple of years and didn't get it done because of a bad putter. So he'll need a hot putter here. But just the ball striking alone, I think could have him in contention. I think Michael Thompson is going to get some money from me too. He's sneakily got 2 top tens here the past couple of years, and had won in the past year 3M Open. The guy's a legend, and I think again ball striking and putting, that's what you need to do well here, and those are his two strengths. Played at the Masters. I forget if he made the cut or not.
Oh yeah, he made the cut. Yeah,
made the cut. So
35th, something like that.
Yeah, so he had a solid week.
That's strong. So I think Thompson's interesting. Who else? I'm scrolling down here. CP, you got any long shots you want to give out?
Yeah, I got sucked in this Snedeker for sure. I already betted at 130. Obviously a winner here, former winner. Popped at the Valero. We know when Snedeker kind of gets cooking, he can throw up a 59 if the you know, he starts firing at flags and pop stroking in a bunch of birdie putts. So I do like Snedeker. I got my eye on Stewart Cink. You know, we talk about the small greens here a lot, like Pebble. They're very tiny greens, so you got to hit, got to be able to hit greens in regulation. And Stewart Cink is second on the PGA Tour this year in greens in regulation percentage. That's crazy. He had a great week at the Masters. Obviously, he's hitting it a long way. It's amazing this kind of resurgence he's having, Stewart Cink. So I'm definitely going to be looking at him. Matthew Neesmith is actually first in greens in regulation percentage. Haven't bet him yet. Steve, our guy Steve Banford here, also just mentioned corollary to Waste Management Phoenix Open. And I recall Neesmith having a very good week at Scottsdale. And then another guy with really good history here, 11th on tour in greens and regulation percentage, has kind of shown a little signs of life this year, played well at Pebble, again, the small green comparison, is Russell Knox, and he's way down the board. Again, another guy, if the wind gets up, good wind player. So it'd be Snedeker for me, and maybe Stewart Cink, Russell Knox, and Matthew Neesmith. And I'm also on Chris Kirk. Steve mentioned it before, but another guy who's kind of playing really well right now. And we saw Portland Spieth capitalize on some really good form. And I'm really rooting for Chris Kirk to do the same.
Of course, CP all over the Chris Kirk Bulldog. The
dogs. I'm probably going to bet Harmon now too, that Banford is on him.
Steve, I'm glad you mentioned Michael Thompson. He had a terrible track record here until just a couple years ago. And now he has 11 consecutive rounds here at par or better. And including those back-to-back top tens. And yeah, he was playing well. I think he was even going into the weekend at the Masters. I saw he was playing with Fitzpatrick on Saturday. He's been a solid under the radar guy. And obviously you mentioned the win last year. All right, Steve, what about you? The long shots this week, anybody catching your fancy?
Agree with CP, Snedeker. I mean, you look at where he plays well. He's a winner here. He's clearly absolutely electric at Greensboro, where they play the Sedgefield Country Club. That course translates to this so closely. I mean, you've only got to look at CT Pan a couple of years ago. So, like, especially with wind in the forecast and Brant Snedeker.
Yep.
He just, when you watch the coverage of the Valero, you could just see he was enjoying his golf again. He was peppering the flags with his approaches. So I like that. I'm on Michael Thompson. I put in my column this week.
Yeah.
And I almost managed to get the piece out. He was 150-1 on William Hill.
Wow.
I got him at 125-1, Michael Thompson.
Okay.
He's just that kind of gritty player that I think could go well here. He's down to 100-1 now. One that I know that you guys were mentioning at the Valero Texas Open, who I think has also got a live chance this week, Camillo Vijaygas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Camillo, a winner at the Wyndham Championship at Sedgefield Country Club.
Yep.
He's had a second and a sixth just down the coast at Sea Island, the RSM Classic. He's had a fifth, a seventh, and a ninth here. 200-1, Camillo Vijaygas. Or you can have a 9-1 bet on him on a top 20.
Wow.
That's lovely.
And coming off a nice, great performance at Valero. And he plays well in the wind. He plays well in the wind. We've seen him win the Honda in really windy conditions.
Yep.
So
they just keep hanging numbers on him. It is amazing. He's shown some solid form and not getting the respect.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right, Stevie, let me get any other DFS angles that you wanted to mention before we get to the end here.
Yeah, I got one more long shot too. I think Chesson Hadley at 200-1 is live. Great ball striker, has a good history at Pebble, so a little correlation there. I think, you know, he plays well with these small greens, ball striking, that's big. So 200-1, I like that. In terms of DFS, you know, everyone go read golfdigest.com for Rick Gaiman's DFS piece, but he threw a couple interesting names out that I thought were worth mentioning. Doc Redman, because, you know, you're looking down in the 6,000s on DraftKings, and, you know, it's a strong field at the top, but then you go way down, and you get the likes of Hunter Mahan and your guy Bill Haas Myers. So, you know, it's tough to kind of choose wisely down here. But Doc Redman, you know, a great ball striker who's now turning it around. He's had a tough stretch to start 2021, but he's gained strokes on approach the last two events, and his putter has turned around, which was which was a disappointment for him. So I think that's interesting. And Jim Furyk, we didn't mention Furyk. I was positive that Powers was going to mention Jim Furyk. He's bet on him, I think, a couple times in the last few events. But Furyk is 6,600 on DraftKings. And if you just look at strokes gained approach, in the past, whatever you want to do, 36 rounds, 50 rounds on Fantasy National, Furyk pops on those models because, you know, he's just peppering the fairway. Pepper in the greens like he's done his entire career. So 6,600 is his salary on DraftKings, 8,000 on FanDuel. I think that's interesting. And our guy Gaiman likes Chris Kirk, 7,500, and Stuart Sink at 6,700. So spot on there. And I think Brendan Todd is worth a look too, because again, short, but really accurate with irons and the driver. That's Brendan Todd's game. 7,300 on DraftKings, I think, is just a nice price. He's made five consecutive cuts, 10 of his last 12. So, you know, he's not necessarily playing as well as he was in his hot stretch a couple of years back there. But, at 7,300, you just need, you know, a top 25 finish with a solid amount of birdies. So I think those guys down the board are worth a look.
CP, anything else?
Nothing really. I did go top five. I think it's like something crazy, like 100-1 on Wes Bryan to finish inside the top five this week. So, big Wes Bryan fan. Hopefully he conjures up some Harbortown magic.
What about Luke Donald? This is also a Luke Donald.
I thought about that. I thought about Luke. I've done it before at his favorite courses and, hasn't worked out. Same with Furyk. You're right. I have bet Furyk at a couple, you know, old man golf courses over the last year, and it kind of hasn't really panned out. So that's why I kind of faded him this week.
Luke Donald, I mean, what a record here. Five runner-ups.
Don't talk me into it.
Never won here, but five runner-ups and two thirds. I mean, he had a run of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 top three finishes in 9 years.
Oh yeah. It's incredible.
That's insane. Obviously we haven't seen much from him the last couple of years. All right, Steve, I'll let you wrap up with, give us some final closing thoughts.
And Steve,
by the way, you've taught us so much. We're using the words peppering now. I'm going to bring up a wind. Wait, what was it called? What was the site? Windfinder.
Yeah.
I got you've given us some great nuggets here, so I'll let you finish final thoughts.
And we got the Austrian Open too on the European Tour, so you know I gotta get some picks from Steve there as well. So.
Oh, well, there's only one pick for the Austrian Open. Yeah. It's got to be Joost Lauten.
Yes.
Joost is toast. Lauten 22-1. That's from my colleague Paul Williams, who specialised on the European Tour. Apparently, Joost has found the putter. Which, as we know, Joost's putting is abysmal.
Yeah.
But Paul Williams, my partner, he's really keen on Joost there this week over in Austria. I tell you a player that's going to garner very little interest this week. Great pivot play. 6.4K on DK. Bryce Garnett.
Mm.
11th
Love here Bryce Garnett.
11th here in 2015, 17th here in 2020. That's all you need at 6.4K. Yep. Great in the wind, a real technician. I think he'll go very well this week at a very cheap price. I really do.
Very good.
Him and Brian Stewart are like this is the week to play those kind of guys. Just
absolutely. I mean, you just said it. You know, it's Luke Donaldville, isn't it? So what do we need? We need short game. We need scrambling. We need putting.
Right.
And if they can keep it together on the fairway and then have a good week with the irons, it's game on here.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining us. It was a lot of fun. I want to thank all our listeners, obviously. Please subscribe to us if you haven't done so already. Leave us a note, whatever. Want to thank our producer, Liam Byrne, also. It's been a lot of fun, guys, and we will be back next week to wrap up what happened.